Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. Today is Thursday, November 8th, 2018. Welcome to the show. Today is obviously all about WWE, hence the WWE Podcast name. So thank you for joining me. We're going to get to some Raw, we're going to get to some SmackDown, and for those of you who are interested in membership, I have a post show that I'm going to be doing that's a member-only exclusive show. You won't hear it on the free feed. The free feeds are Apple Podcasts and Spreaker, and so if you're interested, you just go to patreon.com, that's Patreon, patreon.com/WWE Podcast. And you can check it out and become a patron. And for only $3 a month, you can get yourself ad-free listening of this show. I promise, it's worth it. Because I am tired when I listen to ads, not just on podcasts, but when I'm on Hulu, I pay the extra $12 a month just so I don't have to see the damn commercials. And that's me. I pay the premium to just be able to just listen to my audio or watch my video ad-free and not take me out of the moment. So if you're interested in doing that, just click on my link in my Twitter profile at the WWE Podcast. So check me out there, guys. And if you have no interest in that, that's cool too. Follow me on any other podcast app you have, and please give me a rate and review. It is an awesome way to help out the show, even if you don't become a patron, although I really hope you do, because it comes with some awesome things, and I'm not just saying that to get you to buy it. I really am being serious here. It's a whole new platform that I'm on, and you're not only going to get the ad-free version of the show, you're not only going to get exclusive shows for members only, but there's opportunities in different tier levels to come on the show, tell me what topic you want to talk about for one of my shows exclusively. You run the show. Shout outs on this show, lots of cool stuff. So if you're interested, head over there to patreon.com/WWE podcast and give it a try. It's only $3 a month and it is well worth the value. I promise. So let's get into it, guys. Let's get into the world of professional wrestling. Let's get into the sports entertainment. Let's get into wrestling. One thing that really has nothing to do with Raw or SmackDown, but I've mentioned this before if you listen to me for years, and I have been on the show for years, I really have. The show was formerly known under a different name back in 2014, so technically this show's been on the air for 4 years. I recently changed it early last year, so anyway, one quick thing that I want to talk about, and that is the terminology that WWE has been using to describe their fans over the last, how many years now? 4 or 5 years? And that is calling the fans the WWE Universe. I don't know why that this bothers me so much. I it's been so long that I figured I would just get used to the corporate jargon. I haven't yet. It still bothers me because I think it's because it feels so corporate. No other entity that I know of calls their fans anything else but, oh, I don't know, fans. I don't know if Vince feels that fans is an outdated term, that it's passé, or that it's not cliche, or it's not cute enough, it's not clever enough, it doesn't grasp today's society. I don't know what Vince McMahon is thinking when they decided to change what really are just fans of wrestling into the WWE universe. Everyone has to refer to it as such. I don't know. The corporate jargon that sometimes makes its way on air is infuriating for me. And one other tidbit while I have this mini rant, and trust me, folks, this is a mini rant, is everybody has to address every pay-per-view with the marketing slogan every single way. What do I mean by that? It doesn't matter if it's Raw. It doesn't matter if it's SmackDown. It doesn't matter if it's the general managers live on their shows. Everybody has to refer to, and this is just an example, Survivor Series. The one time a year where SmackDown and Raw go head-to-head in competition. They can't just say the one time a year it's SmackDown versus Raw. I don't understand why they always have to use their marketing slogan. Look at last month when it was WWE Evolution. Everyone, they couldn't just say it Evolution. They had to say at the first all-women's pay-per-view WWE Evolution. They had to phrase it as such. They can't customize it. I don't know. These things just make the environment feel so controlled and just phony. And while I'm on a third tangent that is somewhat related, is when you have general managers come out and Raw and SmackDown, who are supposed to be just running the show as they see fit, and running down the pay-per-view card as if they were running a infomercial for the pay-per-view. You know, saying, featuring Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. Like, why can't the announcers do this? I don't understand. We all know what the card's going to be. I don't need the GMs of every show welcoming us to the show. I know what show I'm watching because, I don't know. I might have turned on the TV and know what I'm going to watch. And have you run down the pay-per-view card like, you know, you're telling me to set it and forget it. I don't know. It feels like a late night infomercial every single time that they're about a week to 2 weeks out from a pay-per-view, coming out and running down the card as if they're instructed to do so. And they are, but I don't want to feel like they are. So three little mini rants to start off the show. How about that? That is just how I feel about today's WWE product. But trust me, guys, this is not a show that is just a rant fest. It's not a show that belittles wrestling. I love wrestling. This is what I've loved since I was, hold on, let me do the math. It was 1997, which made me 12 years old. I'm 33, so 21 years that this brain has been manipulated, entertained, and really just formed around the product of professional wrestling. And for better or worse. So I love the product. I really do. I critique it at times because I'm passionate about it. Not because I'm trying to get clicks. Not because I'm trying to get people to pay attention to me. Or keep up with the latest opinions out there. This is me being real about the product that I've watched for over two decades. So, okay. With all of that introduction out of the way, let's talk a little bit about Monday Night Raw. That was a show that, you know, when you go to the UK, typically when you go to the UK, it's nothing more than a glorified house show. It's a pre-tape show. And for the most part, the storylines spin their wheels. There's not a lot coming out of it, usually. And it's a show that if you skip, typically it doesn't matter. You can pick up right where you left off the following week. Not so much with this show. Really not so much. Was it a legendary blockbuster show? No. But I think the expectation for me was so low that when WWE delivered the progression that they did and the storylines that they have, it really surprised me. And that's a good thing. So with all the critiquing and constructive criticism that I gave WWE at the beginning of the show here, I want to praise the Drew McIntyre story that they're telling. This is a guy who was in the company several years ago, earmarked to be the next guy. Clearly wasn't ready. Vince McMahon loved him, but there were some missteps. Wasn't ready, too much too soon, and he ended up leaving. Fast forward, years later, I don't have the exact number. I'm thinking about five, six years later. He returns with better look, seasoned, just more confidence, good promo, believable, jacked. He's got all the credentials right now. And this is not me jumping on the Drew McIntyre bandwagon with everyone else and hopping on board. I never was on board with the Roman Reigns train. Never. Braun Strowman, I felt as if, you know, he could be the next guy to really feel like he's not being controlled by the company. And then he felt controlled by the company. I think after his ambulance turn, when he flipped over the ambulance last year and the crowd really got behind him, and he was a heel at that point. Then WWE said, wow, well, this is great. The fans seem to love this. And then they did it week after week after week. He ends up bullying Kevin Owens, turns back heel, joins with Drew and Dolph, and then he turns back baby as he's about to face Brock Lesnar at Crown Jewel. And we all know that disaster of a pay-per-view, which was a complete disaster of a pay-per-view. If you want to listen to my thoughts on that, go to my previous show. It was not WWE's finest hour. Let's just put it that way. So we have Braun Strowman now back as a babyface and fuming over Baron Corbin and what he did at Crown Jewel. And I said that he should come up to Monday Night Raw and just tear it up. You know, just rip stuff apart. And that's what he did. However, I took a little bit of issue with the fact that you had Braun Strowman not banned from the building. You had all the stars that appeared to be pretty much the heels on stage, presumably to protect Baron Corbin. Braun's music hits. They let him down to the ring. Corbin has security as his last line of defense. Braun just bulldozes them. Corbin takes off, and then Braun heads back up the ramp, and then the heels attack him. I'm not following the logic on that one. That puzzled me. And, you know, the barricading of the doors didn't do a whole lot for me, because it seems as if Braun didn't even, you know, he didn't tear anything down. I thought he was going to rip doors off and stuff. He just kind of like walked in that, quote, makeshift office that was clearly not an office. I mean, there were several exits and entrances. And I get the premise of what WWE is doing, and I commend them. That's how it should have been presented. Although the production value could have been upped a little bit on that. And it's the attention to detail that sometimes lacks. But I enjoyed the chase of Corbin and Braun throughout the show. Again, this is something that, you know, and by the way, guys, this is, if you haven't really been reading any of the latest news in wrestling, apparently Braun Strowman's knees are, quote, shot, and this is according to Dave Meltzer, okay? We all know who Dave Meltzer is, right? He's one of the most, at least in the wrestling community, one of the most respected journalists and wrestling news reporters, which is what a journalist, so you call him a wrestling journalist, how about that? In the entire industry, he's reporting that his knees are shot, and apparently he has a lot of backstage heat, Braun Strowman, that is. And I think that could have led to the decision to have him pretty much get just dominated by Brock Lesnar at Crown Jewel. Just saying. I don't think it's a coincidence. All right, so that, I really did enjoy the Braun Strowman interaction. I really am concerned about him ever really reaching that top position. They keep putting him at the door, but not letting him walk through. And I think, unfortunately, that may be where he remains, at least for the foreseeable future, especially considering the fact that if he keeps, you know, garnering this backstage heat, for apparently, now guys, this is all allegedly, leaving early or showing up late, and violating some locker room etiquette from time to time. Whatever he's doing, apparently backstage, the other boys are perceiving it as privileged and disrespectful, and very well may be. I mean, this is all, of course, guys, I am feeding into the dirt sheets, right? I mean, I am the internet, I'm the internet fan, right, WWE? Even though, oh, well, you have your network on the internet, so wouldn't everyone be considered an internet fan, right? Okay. I'm a smark. How about that? That is just, I mean, those are, of course, rumors, but they seem plausible, so we'll have to follow that story as it moves along. Let's get to some positive things, and again, Drew McIntyre. That match with Kurt Angle was telling on two fronts. One, Kurt Angle's in-ring career is, at least for all intents and purposes, done. I mean, Kurt Angle is, he's half the speed of what he was. He looks like he's in constant pain. It's something I don't want to see. It's the Kurt Angle I don't want to remember. You know, I think, like I said last week, it's like he's in second gear and can't get past it. He's just stalled in second gear. And, I mean, but the guy has a ton of mileage on his body, and it's as to be expected. But I don't want to see Kurt in this condition wrestling the way he does. I don't mind an angle slam here and there, snapping somebody's ankle here and there when warranted. But I don't want to see Kurt as he's presently constituted in a wrestling ring trying to keep up with the guys that are 20 years younger than him. I know Dolph is a perfect match to make you look good. And obviously Drew McIntyre is a man that WWE is really putting the jetpacks on and see where how high they can take this guy. But right now, Kurt, I don't want to see him try to put on a full match with a guy that is twice and three times his speed. I don't. Even if the guy is in there to make Kurt look like $1 million, that's what Kurt used to do. So when Kurt doesn't do that anymore, it's very obvious that he's being carried in a match, and I don't want to see it. You know, Drew and Kurt, to Drew's credit, they told an awesome story. It is the old adage that sometimes less is more, and that is exactly the case here. I don't need to see a 1,000-mile-an-hour match. Yeah, you may have more content, but when you can't digest that content, it defeats the purpose, and it's counterproductive. And this is a perfect example of telling a story. Kurt and Drew did more in about 6 or 7 minutes than some guys do in 30 minutes, you know, doing a high spot fest. And the reason is the story they were telling was, you know, Kurt is hurting. Drew is dominating. And Drew is enjoying the angst and the torture of Kurt. And Kurt keeps fighting back. You know, you have Drew screaming about Kurt's family. Kurt keeps fighting back. And Drew, almost with his arrogance, almost ended up losing the match. But came out on top with the angle slam and making Kurt tap to the ankle lock. It was a great, I felt emotionally invested. I felt emotions. And that's what you want. That's what you're looking for. That's where the money is. And I was invested. And that's what I liked. And so Kurt tapping out is, it's indicative of where they're taking Drew. It's, first of all, applause to both guys on the story they told. From the body language to the screaming to the pauses, it's amazing. Sometimes doing nothing can tell you more than doing 1,000 things at once. So I enjoyed that, and it told you, where is Kurt Angle going now? Where is he going? And I loved thinking about that, and I think people are asking, well, which one was about? How about it's both? Why not both? I think it could be about both right now. So it's going to be very interesting to see where they take Drew and what happens with Kurt Angle moving forward. So but applause to both guys. Loved it. On to another thing I really liked. Told you guys, this is not a bitch fest. See, I told you. The Ronda Rousey promo, getting a lot of attention. And yes, Becky Lynch had her rebuttal on SmackDown. Not SmackDown Live, because it was pre-taped. Just SmackDown. You had Ronda come out there and really run down Becky as far as to get to WWE and going through clown college and being a stewardess, all of that. And while Ronda tried to belittle that by saying, well, you were doing all this silly little stuff over here, this child amateur stuff. You know, I was in MMA dominating, and I was sleeping, and my mom was trying to woke me up trying to break my arm. And she has to be very careful here. And I mentioned this last week, too, is it worked, and I liked it, and I like her delivery, and I think she's miles ahead of where most anybody would be at this point in their professional career in WWE. I mean, overall, WWE has hit a home run with Ronda Rousey so far. They really have, getting the reactions they want, even though they'll tell you any reaction's a good reaction. BS. They're getting the reaction they want, and deservedly so. Ronda has executed very well. Yes, she's had missteps. Some of her promos have been awkward, like I'm going to eviscerate you like smallpox. I mean, nobody talks like that. It's embarrassing. I did not like it. But yeah, there's missteps like that, okay? But overall, she's believable. They're not trying to make her a wrestler, per se. They're trying to make her this badass that she was, not reinvent the wheel, bring her in as the MMA badass, not obviously be MMA, but take some of that fire personality and presence from MMA and throw it into the WWE environment and have it translate. And so far it has. So far it has been very good. I wouldn't give it a, you know, perfect, but I did not expect anywhere near perfect. I actually expected somewhat of a train wreck, especially on the mic. And she has delivered more often than not. So I liked it. And then she said that you may be the man, but I'm the baddest bitch on the planet. And, I liked it. I did. And what's great is we're not in a TV-14 environment anymore, but when they even, you know, have mild swearing, it adds emphasis to someone's promo, especially when they don't do it often. So I liked it. Good job by Ronda. And Becky's promo on SmackDown, similarly, I think was good. You could make a case that one beat the other if they were standing at a podium and this was a presidential debate of sorts. You could make a case that both one. And I enjoyed Becky. She's talking about that she had to really earn everything she's gotten, that she wasn't handed or cherry picked to, you know, be in the position she's in, that she had to work from nothing, which guess what? That's scary for the reaction that Ronda could get at Survivor Series, because Ronda has not had that organic connection with the fans from day one, as far as starting on the journey with her, walking next to her, you know, side by side, figuratively, obviously, and taking that next step and walking with the fans and going through the ups and downs. It was, okay, everyone knows who Ronda Rousey is. She was a badass in MMA. It'd be awesome to see her in WWE. She gets there, and she's still this pretty much, for the most part, a badass and taking to the mic well, and she's doing very well in the ring and is still, you know, looking like Ronda Rousey. But then you have Becky, who has been the more seasoned individual who has struggled from a booking perspective, and the fans know that, from really growing out of nothing into something. And I think that ultimately that connection is stronger than the badass Ronda Rousey MMA connection, which admittedly is strong. But when you have someone that it's like growing up with someone from childhood versus meeting that new person, that new friend or whoever it may be, and I don't know, romantic interest, whatever, and have it new and fun and it's great. And how long is that going to last, though? You know, I think ultimately the fans will side with Becky, which scares me if I'm the writers trying to make sure Ronda doesn't get destroyed by the fans at Survivor Series. So that's what I think. And if you guys follow me on Twitter, you know that I think there is more of a chance of WWE going back to TV-14 than having a clean finish of Ronda and Becky Lynch at Survivor Series. Why? Neither woman can afford a loss, a clean loss, none. So if this match ends and it's not a double count out, it's going to be from some screwy interference on the outside, something going awry, and I'm fine with it because I don't want to see either one lose. I don't. Survivor Series is not the time for that. Becky is hotter than hot right now. You could argue that Becky is the biggest star in WWE at this moment. You could, or at least the most talked about. You could argue that. And I can't believe that's crazy to think about, right? And then you could also say that Ronda Rousey, she's undefeated in WWE. Why would you want to end that streak for a SmackDown competitor That is, there's no title on the line, and there's really no story to follow up on that because it's just the one night a year that SmackDown and Raw go head to head, right? Just the one, you know. But we forget about the Rumble because that's not head to head, and we forget about the WWE Crown Jewel tournament because that, you know, that wasn't head to head with SmackDown and Raw. So yeah, but sure, it's the one night a year, guys. One night a year, and whatever. So some big highlights there. I liked it. Some other things. One other thing that I want to touch on is people are really down on Bobby Lashley and Lio Rush, saying, I'll be honest, I'm not really high on them, but I'm somewhat on the bandwagon of these two. And what they did on Monday night, people are freaking out of Lashley doing his favorite pose, which is basically just bending over and showing the people's backside. They didn't do it DX style back in 1998. He has his tights on, guys. That's a heel move. You know, you're not supposed to like it. Well, I don't understand the problem with it. Really? Is it really that big of a deal? I don't understand. After everything WWE's ever done, this is what infuriates you? And people complaining about Lio Rush having the mic too long and his laugh that he does. And people are saying, well, that's go away heat. I don't care what kind of heat you name it. Heat is heat is heat. And you could say, oh, it makes me want to change a channel. But does it really? Does it really? Has it ever really made you change a channel? Or would you rather just see that guy get his ass kicked? Heat is heat is heat. And I think people haven't seen real heat in so long that when it hits them in the face, they get so annoyed that they threaten to change a channel. That's what you're looking for. So I don't understand when people say that. I understand that sometimes you're just tired of a character and you're tired of seeing someone be on TV like Stephanie McMahon, who just sucks the air out of a room and has to make sure that she is the tallest, literally and figuratively, the tallest woman whenever she's in a promo, in the ring, making sure she wears heels, towering over stars, towering over the women. And I don't know. I'm on this bandwagon of Lio and Lashley right now, and I don't understand the angst for these two. I really don't. I think that it's supposed to be annoying, right? Because they're heels. I don't care what kind of heat it is. It's heat. You have a reaction to it, which means you're annoyed by it. Good. If I was WWE writers, I would say, check, mission accomplished. So that's my two cents on that. All right, so guys, that's really what I had to say about Monday Night Raw. And join me on the member-only exclusive post-show that is coming up right after this, which is only available on Patreon. It is not available on my free feed. So if you keep refreshing the feed on Apple Podcasts and Google Play and Spotify and Dogcatcher and Podbean, you're not going to find it. It's only available on my patreon.com/WWE podcast. And again, if you sign up, you get all of my shows ad free, as well as exclusive shows like the one I'm about to record, which is going to cover a little bit more in depth about SmackDown Live, the Daniel Bryan and Miz segments that were awkward and I didn't know what to make of them. And I'll get into all of that, as well as the fact that Triple H is injured, and what does this mean for WrestleMania? What does it mean? Because we all know WWE was hinting at Batista versus Triple H. So does that happen? I'm going to talk about that and a ton more stuff, guys. So please take me a list, give it a listen, give me a try at patreon.com/WWE podcast. But if not, that's cool too. Everyone have a great night, great day, great morning, afternoon, whatever your time of day is, and I will talk to you next time.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price, just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only, in-store only, limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price, just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only, in-store only, limit 5.